I bring you up to speed with the update, right, with what we have been trying to do with those initiatives that were established as a result of the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. For that of the Reconnect to Inspire groups, they are actually doing well and running and doing well. We are seeing good participation, especially with the groups that are meeting in person. So far, we have around 40 parishioners participating in these groups. Then that of the initiative to safely open up the parish grounds is focused on a daytime bingo event around the first week of December. This is meant to attract parishioners that would like some extra social interaction in a safe environment while having some fun. Then the other one, which is about reaching out to young families, we are still trying to determine the best way to reach out to families with young children. We will be contacting some parishes in our diocese that have had success reaching this group to find out what they are doing. If there are any families that would like to give us input, please contact Deacon Mike or you could reach out to me. Future updates will be provided as these initiatives move forward. Today's reflection. As we're about to begin this reflection, let us call upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of light, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of peace, that he comes down to us all here at this time. Open our hearts and fill us with his light. Fill us with the rays of his healing, because we know a lot of persons are hurting and continue to bring us peace. And as we listen to the word of God, which brings delight to the soul and inspires us to love God and love one another, we pray that we may be richly blessed by all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Paul says in the second reading of today, brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. However, I have chosen to reflect on this statement of St. Paul, knowing how so often we are prone to anxiety, which can be the result of so many factors. However, St. Paul's statement might seem like an unreal piece of advice, because there is no way to avoid being worried or anxious at one point or another. Good and sincere people are naturally worried about many things, especially if they are the empathetic kinds like us. You know, I belong to that group, I suppose, because when I look at my strength, one of my greatest strengths is empathy. So I understand what this situation is talking about. It is a burden they carry precisely because they are people who care. They care about loved ones and many other things. At this time of crisis, people may be hurting and angry as a result of the consequences of the pandemic, as well as the actions and the unbridled spoken words of others. All of these trigger this anxiety level astronomically. However, they reveal how imperfect we all are who live in a broken and imperfect world. At any rate, St. Paul has offered us a way out of this mess. He says, we should take it up to God in prayer. But prayer without action leads to nothing worthwhile. Prayer is supposed to prepare us for the right action to undertake. So, following our line of thought, prayer will open our eyes and hearts to accepting the fact that no one of us goes through life without getting hurt by others and vice versa. Therefore, it is incumbent on us to find ways to live in peaceful coexistence and drastically minimize anxieties and hurts that we inflict on one another. The same prayerful disposition leads us to realize that the processes toward healing and reconciliation begin with, first of all, recognizing that a wrong has been done to us. It is fine and not sinful to have such feelings, because such feelings are natural and healthy for us. We should talk about these feelings. You see, God even gave us an example. You see, the first reading today, it's like God was having a dialogue with the house of Israel. Let's talk things over. And then when you look at the Gospel 2, it's like Jesus was having a dialogue with his audience and even asking them, what do you think about this? So, we actually have a duty to confront or share our feelings with our accuser. The confrontation shouldn't be done in anger or with a desire to get even. Rather, it should be done with a desire to reach an understanding and reconciliation. According to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, he says that to seek reconciliation is more important than the offerings of sacrifices to him, to God. We should make a decision to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of the will and not of feelings. We forgive in order to cleanse ourselves of those poisonous attitudes and states of mind, so that we may be able to devote all our energies to loving all people, which is the only activity that benefits a Christian. Prayer disposes us to follow the Christian approach in all things, which opens the door to fill our hearts and minds with what St. Paul speaks of in today's second reading when he said, "Brothers and sisters, fill your minds with everything that is true, everything that is noble, everything that is good and pure, everything that we love and honor, and everything that can be thought virtuous or worthy of praise." This is in accord with the fruits of right living, which the landowner or the vine dresser, the first reading and the gospel reading of today, expected from his tenants, whom he leased the vineyards to. The landowner, who happens to be God himself, is deeply grieved and hurt at the shameful conduct of the tenants who had confiscated the vineyard, ignoring the landowner and maltreating those whom the landowner sent to remind them of their betrayal and abuse of his trust. The tenants also represent us, parents, teachers, community leaders, social movement, political parties, founding fathers, and so on and so forth. The vineyard also represents us, the human mind, our heart and our body, our families, children, spouses, parents, our friends and spiritual guides, the communities in which we work and pray, our world and its environment, our country with its mountains and valleys, its rivers and beaches, its trees and animals. As we consider all these beautiful gifts of God, we will say that God indeed has planted a beautiful vineyard, fenced it round, dug a wine press, and built a tower. Look at all the loving care God took to bring about all of this. The parable now invites us to enter into the landowner's feeling and condemn all unjust and evil situations, as he does when he sees human beings treat his precious sons and daughters, you and I, his environments and beautiful nature with reckless abandon. God shows in the parable that he is not detached or calm in such situations, but encourages us to imitate his righteous anger. Right anger is a virtue we all fail to practice, especially in the light of the great crimes of our time, such as world poverty, the sexual abuse of minors, racism and sexism, the incessant killings of the unborn babies, which will also include the disrespect for the sanctity of all human life. These and other crimes of humanity are implicitly revealed in the irresponsible conduct of the tenants. So, Jesus is that person in our lives who invites us to repent of our false detachment and silence and enter into the righteous anger of God. Jesus is any person who appropriately exercises his or her prophetic role as a Christian in speaking out against the ills in our societies. And God is continually calling us from the error of our ways into a closer relationship with him and with one another. And remember, it is through human intermediaries that God calls arms to us.